We'll deal with that, but I wanted us to move, jump ahead to the last section here, beginning at verse 10, and take a look at what Paul has to say to the church, kind of like his wrap-up, his conclusion. And he starts off in verse 10. He says, finally. Don't you love it when a preacher says finally? You know, somebody asked, what does it mean when a preacher says finally? And somebody else said, it means absolutely nothing. Anyway, finally, he says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Paul is telling the Ephesians, who he has instructed so clearly. He started off telling them how they are part of God's plan, and he's given them all kinds of teaching, and then he talked about the relationships that they have and all sorts of things. And when he's done all that, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And what he is saying is whether they like it or not, they are going to be in for a battle. They don't need to ask for it. They don't need to go looking for it. But there is going to be a battle against the devil's schemes. And so he's saying, you need to be ready. You need to be prepared. And the battle, he says, is going to be against the devil's schemes. Now you might wonder, what is that? What are the devil's schemes? Well, technically, and if you look at the literal translation there, it's talking about the devil's deceitfulness, his cunning, his trickery. Those are the devil's schemes, his methods of trying to ensnare people through deception. And it's important for us to remember that the devil's primary scheme is that of deception. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus speaks about the devil as being a liar and a father of lies. And the reason for that is very simply because that's what he is. He works through lies. He works through deception. He works through deceit. That's where the power of the devil is. Satan doesn't have real power. Satan doesn't have the power of God. Satan isn't the equal but opposite of God. You know, we have God on one side, full of power and might, and can do anything and control anything, and he could be everywhere, and he can understand what's in your mind, and sometimes we think that Satan is just the opposite, like he has all those same power, but he's evil. That's not true. Satan doesn't have all that power. He can't be everywhere. He can't understand what's in our mind. He knows what's in our heart. He knows what our nature is. But he isn't like God. He has power, but his power is limited. His power is in deceitfulness. He has the power to deceive. And don't think that deception isn't strong. It is very powerful. Something can look so right, and it could be so wrong. Something that is so wrong could be made to look so right. And friends, I hear that sometimes. I see that sometimes. And it does break my heart when I see it in people's lives, when God's word is so true and clear, and yet, because we have been deceived, we think that, oh, well, I'm an exception, or this is something else, and, oh, well, this in this case, it's okay. That's why I really appreciate that we focus on God's Word and study God's Word. Because we see the power of deception every day. We see it when people forfeit the real thing for the counterfeit all the time. God wants to put us in a relationship where we can understand what love is. People often trade it off for lust or a fling. Deception. People convince themselves that a little sin won't hurt. A little lie is okay. That's the power of deception. We see it when people indulge in all sorts of behaviors that are destructive. We see it when people get their priorities all mixed up. When work comes before family, and when leisure comes before worship, or when money comes before principle. You see, Satan likes to get everything mixed up. He likes to take what is good and real and make it look bad, and he takes what is wrong and he makes it look so good and appealing. And unless we're standing on God's word, we get duped by that deception. That's why it doesn't matter what I think. Because what I think could be wrong. I could be fooled. What matters is what God's word says. It's not how I feel. Feelings are important. But what's even more important is not what I think, not what I feel in my heart, but what it says in God's word. Because if we go with what is just in my heart, oh, it feels good, or it feels right, or it looks so nice and right, and hallelujah. But if it's contrary to God's word, we are being duped. We're being deceived. And that's where Satan's power is. To deceive. When we've been deceived, we become powerless against him. Well, we're going to get to that in a little bit more in a moment or two. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Have your eyes wide open. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." It's a pretty strong word, to devour. The devil isn't interested in your well-being. His goal isn't to build you up. He might make something look good, but his purpose is to destroy, to devour. And he does that through lies and deceit. Satan has no teeth. He has no power other than lies and deceit. He can't make a single hair on your head fall to the ground. He has no authority over you. He can't make you do anything, but he can deceive. And we can be deceived through his deceitfulness. We can be devoured or eaten up through deceit. And that's the reason, for that reason, Paul tells us, he continues to tell us there in Ephesians chapter 6, to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes, against his deceit, against his lies, because that's where the real battle is. He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's where our battle is. Sometimes we get it all wrong. You know, we think that the problem is our neighbor. We think that the enemy is our neighbor for whatever reason. Our battle is not with those who stand opposed to us or to God's word. The battle is not against the secular humanist, for example, the battle is a spiritual battle. It's not against flesh and blood. The battle isn't against that guy over there or that girl over there. It's much more deeper, much more spiritual than that. And I think that's important for us to remember, because sometimes when we are in a contrary position with somebody, maybe it's on some ideological matter or something, we begin to think of them as the enemy. They are not the enemy. They might be controlled or deceived by the enemy, but they're not the enemy. The enemy might work through them. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. A good example of this we see in Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. The soldiers came to arrest Jesus, and Peter saw the soldiers as the enemy. It's only natural for him to do that. So he pulls out his sword and he strikes a soldier. Jesus tells Peter to put that away. The battle isn't against flesh and blood. The battle is against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so Paul tells us then in verse 13, Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. I'm sure you noticed that Paul didn't say, if the day of evil comes, or maybe the day of evil might come, but he said, when the day of evil comes. Because we know that one day that will come. The evil one will try to disrupt our lives. The evil one will try to bring deceit into our lives and into our homes. Sooner or later, the forces of evil will bring deception. And so Paul says, stand firm then. This is what you need if you're going to stand against the devil's schemes, against all of his trickery and lies and deceit. This is what you need. Stand firm then with the belt of truth around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes through the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Paul says you need this armor. This is our protection. Without this armor, we're going to fall. There's no question about it. Our armor is all that keeps us from harm when the spiritual forces of evil try to devour. The armor, truth, righteousness, readiness, the gospel, faith, salvation, the word of God, prayer. This is the armor. This is our protection. This is how we are able to stand. Each of these pieces of the armor are necessary. If we're going to stand firm, we're going to need truth. We're going to need righteousness. We're going to need faith and salvation and the Word of God and prayer. We need all of those factors. And what's interesting, perhaps I should say what is sadly interesting, is that this is exactly where we're being hit. When we look around us in a community or in our nation, and we wonder why we're in such a mess. Why our neighbors to the south are also in such a mess. It's because we have had our armor dismantled. The armor is truth and righteousness and so on. Faith, the Word of God. And when you look at the world today, what is truth? Well, everybody gets to make up their own truth. What I like is truth for me. I determine truth. Who are you to determine truth for me? Keep your truth to yourself. That's for you. So you see that there is no truth. Righteousness? You got to be kidding me. Who would live like that these days? You only live once. Eat, drink, and be merry. Do what you want. Faith? No. You don't need faith. You need to see. Seeing is believing. Everything has to be cold and calculated. Faith? No, that's for people who are weak. Salvation. People would say, what do you need salvation for? There's no such thing as sin in the first place. Saved from what? The Word of God? That's already been torn to pieces virtually. Pick and choose what you like, and some of it is okay, and some of it is, maybe it really isn't that what it says, and oh, maybe this part's good, and that part is, well, something else. And when you look at what has happened in our world, in our country, we see that all these pieces of the armor have been dismantled. And it's no wonder then, I believe, that our nations are turning more and more into chaos. The spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms have taken away the armor upon which we had built our countries, and we are pretty much defenseless. And it's true. You just listen to the news and it's like anything goes. Without an armor, we are being destroyed. Without an armor, we are falling for deception. But it's not hopeless, of course. And that's where you and I come in. That's where the church comes in. And this is why you and I need to be, more than ever, people of truth, people of righteousness and faith. This is why, more than ever, we need to be people who stand upon the Word of God, who come together and pray. Because all that's standing in the way for the spiritual forces of evil to completely run amok are the people of God. Our victory comes through our having this armor in place. Paul says, put it all on and pray. Pray in the Spirit. Pray together. Pray individually. The whole church is engaged in this struggle. The whole church needs to stand together in prayer. We need to pray for one another. When we meet on Tuesday nights, we do pray. We pray for individual needs. That is true, and that's important, and that's good. But we also need to pray that we would be able to stand together with the full armor of God, because the day of evil is coming, and perhaps has come, and we need to take our stand. And the only way we can do it is by holding fast to these pieces, this armor that Paul talks about. The good news is that even though our enemy has great power to deceive, he has already been disarmed and defeated by Christ. We need to remember that. We fight a defeated enemy. Colossians 2:15 reminds us of what Christ has done, having disarmed the powers and authorities. He, that is Christ, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Colossians 2:15. The enemy still makes a lot of noise. He roars, but he has no teeth. His only power, which is great and very effective, is the power to deceive, to turn people away from God, to make wrong look good and right look wrong. And deceive he will. He will entice you with every kind of lie in order to draw your attention away from God and bring destruction upon yourself. He will draw you, entice you with every kind of deception. He knows our weakness, because it's in our nature. And wherever we're weak, that is where he will try to deceive. And friends, our hope is in the Lord. Our strength is in God. Finally, Paul said in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Friends, we are weak. We will not be able to stand against the devil's schemes if we're trying to do it in our great wisdom and scholarly study and all those kind of good things. We need to depend upon the power of God. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Yes. But before that he says, submit to God. And after that he said, come near to God. And so it seems to me that the only way we're going to have that victory, the only way we are going to be able to maintain that armor and see through the lies and deceits of the enemy is if we are submitting to God and coming near to God. Our hope lies in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Friends, the good news is we don't need to stumble and fall. We can stand firm, not on our strength, but by God's mighty power. You, dear children, 1 John 4, verse 4 says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Friends, we have the answers right there. If we want victory, if we want to be able to stand against the devil's deceit and lies and schemes, we will only be able to do so as we turn to the Lord. The one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. And so, friends, I want to encourage you today. If you want to have victory, as I want to have victory, we will only do so as we build upon our relationship with the Lord. Feed it. Focus on it. Allow it to grow. Stand by God's truth, righteousness, faith, salvation, the Word of God, and prayer. Put on the full armor. Be ready for the day of evil will come. And then, when it does come, you will be able to stand. You don't have to fall. You are able, by the grace and power of God, to stand. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you this morning, we recognize just how much we need to depend upon you if we're going to take our stand against the devil's deceit and lies. Sometimes in our own hearts even, we get confused. We get mixed up. We think that something is wrong when it's right or right when it's wrong. And Father, it is only as we draw near to you, close to you, focus upon you and your word, allow your word to penetrate our hearts, become people of prayer, that we're able to stand firm. And I pray for each individual here that in our own lives that we would be able to take on the full armor of God. And I pray that as a church, that as the body of Christ here, that we would be a people who collectively have put on the full armor of God so that we can be a voice for truth and faith and righteousness, that we can be able to stand firm. And Lord, whatever comes our way, we know that you're with us, that you will guide us, and we just pray for your presence and your power to lead us. In each and every situation, we give to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.